2 Kings, 24th chapter. Please stand in the reverence of reading of God's word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you so much today for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness to this great country. Thank you for how good you've been to us and how you've provided for us. And Lord, the opportunities you've given us here in this country, thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for all of the gospel messages that went forth from this country, the many multitudes of tracts that's been printed. Father, the missionaries that came from this place and went to foreign lands, we thank you for them. And Father, we ask you to help us to continue the work of God in this country of ours. God, help us. We need your help. And this preacher certainly needs your help today as I preach. I need your power and your wisdom. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to preach a message which I've entitled, A Nation on the Brink of Disaster. A Nation on the Brink of Disaster. Nebuchadnezzar, right after this portion of scripture that I read to you, where God sent some of the bands of the Chaldees, the Syrians, and the Moabites, and the children of Ammon, sent them up against Judah, we find that soon after that, Nebuchadnezzar, starting in verse number 11 of that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem. The Bible says, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, verse 11, against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out of the king of to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poor sort of the people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers and the mighty of the land. Those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. We find that Nebuchadnezzar came up against Jerusalem, Judah, and took it captive. On down later on, and I'm not going to read that portion of scripture, but in starting in chapter 25, you find that he came down and besieged the city again. This time, what he did was he absolutely burnt the city. You'll notice in verse number 9 and in chapter 25, it says, "And he burnt the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire." In verse 21, we see that Judah was completely taken, and the king of Babylon smote them and slew them that Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. The Bible says that God allowed Judah to be carried away out of their land into the land of Babylon. Why all of this? Why did God do this? Go back to chapter 24, and there's an interesting note made in verse number 3. Very interesting. In chapter 24, verse number 3, "Surely at the command of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. The Bible tells us that God did this because of the sins of Manasseh. Now, I don't think it meant his personal sins. I believe what he meant was that the sins that he introduced into the country or the nation of Judah and allowed to take place. Not only did he introduce them, he encouraged them. He was the one that brought them in. And the Bible says that God did this, took them into captivity. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. You've heard about that. That was the last one. That was it, the sins of Manasseh. And God said they're going into captivity. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the sins of Manasseh. At this point, Judah was a nation that was absolutely on the brink of disaster. Soon after this, it was going to be carried into Babylon after these sins, after he established all of these things. They was going to be carried into Babylon. They was a nation sitting, waiting on the very brink of disaster. Let's go back to 2 Kings, the 21st chapter, and look about Manasseh. In verse number 1 and 2, let me read that to you. He says, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. First of all, the Bible says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You know what? He didn't take any polls. That country didn't take any polls like we do today to see if our president and our leaders are okay. The Gallup poll didn't make any difference. It didn't influence God's estimation of Manasseh one bit. And I say to you today, and I believe it today, that God is displeased with the leadership in America. And I don't care what the polls say, and I don't care what people want or what people think. I believe if it was written down from heaven, God would say the leaders of our nation today are doing those things that are evil in his sight. I believe it's the same thing that was happened right here in verse number 10 of chapter 21. Let us look. And the Lord spake by his servant the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with the idols. If you'll notice there, he said he has done worse than the heathen that was in the land before he came. I mean, he's doing worse than what the world would do. He's done worse than the Amorites did. And he says, and therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. He said he used the illustration of taking a dish and how a man would take a cloth and just wipe that dish and then turn it upside down. God said, that's what I'm going to do to Jerusalem. And he says, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the land of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. The Bible simply tells us that Manasseh did them things which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. I say to you again today, folks, we've got to understand it is God we must please in this nation and not our leaders. It is the leaders must please God and not the people. Amen. We need to please God Almighty. We need to do those things which are pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. So what was it? What was this evil that Manasseh did that brought his nation to the brink of disaster? What was it that done that? First of all, if you look at verse number 3 in chapter 21, he says, for he builded up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, and as Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. I say to you, the first thing that he did, he tore down that which his father built. Now, if you will look in chapter 18 of the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, just go back to that. Let's look for a few moments. You might remember his father was Hezekiah, a godly king. And in this, in 2 Kings 18th chapter, verse number 4, it tells us what Hezekiah did. Hezekiah come on the scene. He found some terrible things in Judah also. But he came on the scene and began to straighten some things out. In verse number 4, he says, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehutan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses, and the Lord was with him. And he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. First of all, exactly what Hezekiah done is spent his lifetime rebuilding up Israel, or Judah. Rebuilding it up, getting rid of those things that was terrible in the land. As soon as Manasseh came onto the scene, the son of Hezekiah, he come on the scene, he began to tear down that which his father had built. And folks, listen to me, that's exactly what America is doing today. This land was built upon the right principles. It was built upon the principles of the Bible, the Word of God. We're not going back to all of our leaders and say that they was absolutely all Christian, but I want to tell you, they was a God-fearing people. They were people who feared God, and the principles of the Bible is what built this nation, and what was our schools was founded on it. That's what they used to teach in our schools today. And we come along today, and what we're doing today is absolutely tearing down that which our forefathers has built. Absolutely ripping it apart and tearing it down. I say to you, it's the same thing that they did back here. What Manasseh did to his father is going on absolutely today in our land. Many of our young people today don't even realize it, because they don't know what the forefathers built. They don't know anything but what they see today. They go to school and they hear about evolution, and they've heard it, but we didn't used to hear about evolution. We didn't always hear about those things. We didn't always, you know, wasn't always a shame to carry a Bible to school. It wasn't always wrong to say a prayer in school. You see, our forefathers built us a good foundation and gave us something to stand for. And these generations, these past generations and our generation has went about to tear and rip that apart and instill humanism into America instead of godliness into America. So I say to you, the very first thing that happened here, Manasseh went about tearing down that which his father had built. Always bad has to do that. If it's going to get its influence upon a nation or an individual, it has to tear down that which is good. That's why we tell our young people, be careful who you run around with. Those people who you run around with are going to desire to tear you down if you're good. If you love God and walk with God, they're going to desire to tear you down. And that's what they're doing to this great nation of ours. They're ripping it apart and tearing it down. That which was right, that which was proper, that which was good, you see. And what did he do? You always tear something down, you've got to replace it with something. And in verse number 3, in chapter 21, you notice, for he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. You notice, he began to build up the high places, the false worship. The things that Hezekiah spent much of his life trying to tear down and get right and rebuild the right things, Manasseh came right along and began to instill into that land those false worship, those false gods, right back in there, you see. You always replace it with something. You don't leave a void. You always replace it, you see, with something. First of all, the first thing that I believe he set about to do, is he destroyed the spiritual life of the people of Judah. He absolutely destroyed their life. Whether we understand it or not, that's exactly what's going on in America today. The spiritual life of the people is being destroyed in America. But look what he did in verse number 3, it says. In verse number 3, he says, for he built up the high places which Hezekiah's father destroyed. What did he do? Rear up altars for Baal, made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He began to bring in false worships. He began to get people to look to false gods. In verse number 6, he said he made his sons pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord. He provoked him to anger. What he did was he brought Satan worship in, whatever, what we might call it, but all these enchantments and all these wizards and all of that is nothing but from Satan. We've got that in America today. We've got it scattered all across this land. It's going on. There's Satan worship. There's all these things that we're mentioning right here today. The very same thing that Manasseh did in his land is going on in America today. Now listen, folks, there's all kinds of cults in America. I read a few years back, I don't remember how many years back, and I'm sure that has changed, but a few years back I read where there was 500 cults in America. Now, I don't know how many there is now, and I'm sure some of those were small, not some of them very big, but folks, cults are all over this land. And two of the greatest, the biggest cults in this land who are growing on a fast rate is the Mormons and the Jehovah Witness. They're a big operation. There's multitudes of people falling into their grasp. And those are cults. Those are cults just like he did here. He instituted those things in this great land of ours. And the people are buying it. And I still say, I'm telling somebody the other day, the real problem of America is not the cults. The real problem in America is the Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. If my people, didn't say the cults here. He said, if my people will do right, I'll do something about your land. I'll take care of it, you see. And so we got all kinds of cults in America. But let me say to you, that's what he did here. He began to raise up gods in the land so the people would worship those gods. There's all kinds of gods that people are worshiping today. Did you know in many people's lives, their jobs are their gods? Their jobs rule whether they go to church or not. Their jobs rule whether they go to visitation or not. Their jobs rule what happens in their home. And so jobs has become a god to them. Why has it become a god to them? Because their jobs dictate whether they can buy things. And things has become a god. Oh, I gotta have this, so I gotta work. I gotta have this, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that. And at the same time, they don't say, I gotta serve God. All across this land, everywhere we look, we see people not going to church on Sunday, not paying any attention to God, because basically of their desire to have things. And they spend their life at that. Let me say to you, another god is a sports god. All across this land, sports has become a god to America. Oh, I know, isn't that a touchy subject? It ought not to be. You ought to be hollering hallelujah, Brother Ross. Thank you for saying so. Thank you, Brother Ross, for saying that. I thank you. I appreciate it. Sports is a horrible thing, a wicked thing. Oh, yes, it is, too. But you know why? Because it's taken over the place of godliness. And we worship those sports athletes more than they worship God Almighty. They've become the big deal in America. And instead of loving God, we love the sports. Where do you think a lot of people are today? If not some big sport event going on, I want to tell you what, they will be pretty soon. Because they've got this thing fixed out year-round. And most of people on Sunday, multitudes and multitudes of people get to these sports things and can't hardly wait to get to them. Can't hardly get their feet, wait to get their feet propped up and watch them all day long or all night long or whatever. It's become their god. Right. Not only that, the pleasures of life have become gods in America. It's more important to be pleasurable than it is to be godly. Pleasures are more and more important. We've got to do everything we can, whether it's sports or no matter what it is. We are a people who must have pleasures instead of being concerned about godliness. I'm saying to you again, folks, the same thing that happened in Manasseh's day, he turned the hearts of the people to false gods. And that's what these are false gods. The pleasures that men have to have today is just a terrible thing today, because they're more concerned about having a good time, having fun, than they are serving God Almighty. Materialism, let me say to you, I believe is one of the greatest sins in America today. I say that from the bottom of my heart. I believe it in all of my heart. I believe that materialism has absolutely become devastating to America. And not just to the lost of America, but to the Christians in America. You know what materialism does? It steals your time. It steals your talents. It steals your ties. And it even steals your testimony. Every one of them belong to God Almighty. I want to tell you that time belongs to God. Your talents belong to God. Amen. Your tithes belong to God. Amen. Your testimony belongs to God, but we're too busy testifying out there for the world instead of God. Again, I'm saying to you, materialism has absolutely just taken over America. And we're the same place that they was back in the days when God said He's going to do something to them that their ears will absolutely tingle. They was a nation sitting on the brink of disaster, getting ready to go into captivity. And they recognized it not. America don't even recognize what's happening to her. But it is happening. So what did He do? He destroyed the spiritual life of Judah. The spiritual life of America is being destroyed. Secondly, He brought disgrace to the house of God. Look at verse number 4 and verse number 5. And He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And He built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. You know, Manasseh done things that even Ahab did not do. Ahab, one of the most wicked kings, he was the king of Israel. Manasseh here was the king of Judah, but he done things that even Ahab did not do. Manasseh brought the scourge right into the house of God and set up altars in the house of God and in the courts, the inner court and the outer court. Set those altars up right in the house of God. And I say to you today in America, the same thing's happening. We're setting up altars in the house of God that ought to be a place that's where His name is honored. And we're setting up altars. We're setting up this social activities altar. When God expects us to be a spiritual people, you're hearing the social gospel, and it becomes more important than the real gospel. I'm saying to you, the society today, you go out and find the churches that's cropping up across this land, and they go out and take a poll of what kind of church you want. What do you want in your church? Oh, you want a bowling alley? We'll give you a bowling alley. You want a baseball field? We'll give you a baseball field. You want a band? We'll give you a band. We'll just give you anything you want to do. Whatever you want to do, it doesn't make any difference. We'll just give it to you. No, no, no. The Word of God says the house of God is a very special place. It's a holy place. It's set aside for God. I know this building is not like the temple, but I want to tell you something. It's a place where God's given us to come and honor Him. And so they're setting up the altars of social activities, and they're also setting up the altar of no separation, no standard. No, just do anything you want, be any way you want, no separation from the world whatsoever. They're setting up the altar of no absolute Bible. In other words, whatever you want to read is all right. If you want to read the NIV or some other perverted perversion, just read it. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. But I say to you, this is the Bible, God's Word. The King James Version is left for us. It's God's Word. It's what we're going to use here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're not going to use anything else. And it is absolute authority. What it says goes. Amen. Amen. If man says something else, it's wrong. Amen. But no, in our churches today, we've set up this thing of no absolute Bible. Take it, you'll read it one way. You'll take it one way. You do with it whatever you want. Everybody else does. No, no. The Bible's the Word of God. What it says is true. It's absolute. You see, it's absolute. I mean, there is absolute truth. It is truth. You see. But no, we've set up that altar. Not only that, we've set up the altar of non-Christian music in our churches. Music that sounds like the world instead of like God wants, and that will honor God. The wrong kind of music is being played in many kinds of our churches and being sung in multitudes of our churches across this nation. That is wrong. That's an altar that's being set up. There's another altar of flesh power instead of spirit power. People are doing things in the power of the flesh instead of the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God. That's also in our churches all across this land. Not only that, the altar of deadness. I mean, there's a deadness that sets in churches across America. I don't want this to be that way, but sometimes I think ours is getting dead. I really do. Sits there. I mean, you can't get happy if Jesus is the Son of God and virgin born and coming again, and you just sit there with a stone look on your face. I want to tell you something. That's exciting to me. You ought not be sitting around in deadness. We ought to have some life in us about love for God Almighty. But no, we've got dead churches all over this country, and that's why the Philistines are winning. Dead churches. It isn't the world's fault. It's the church's fault. You see, but no, those altars are being set up. The altar of loyalty to the world instead of to the church is being set up. Whatever the world, you work around the world schedule. You don't work around the church schedule, right? Is that what the way it's supposed to be? No, absolutely not. But there's a loyalty out here to this old world that supersedes the loyalty to the church. That's another altar that's being set up. The altar of no repentance. No repentance. Now, I've done something wrong, but I don't have to repent about it. I've hurt somebody. I mean, I've tore somebody up, and I don't have to do a thing about it. I just do whatever I want. Whatever seems right to me. No, I tell you what, a church is a place where we come and hear the word of God, and there ought to be an altar of repentance. That's what it's for. Amen. Altar of repentance. Get on our knees, cry out to God and say, God, forgive me for what I did. We've also got those altar of ear-tickling preaching that's going around. That's been set up in multitudes of our churches just so that the people will be happy when they go out the door on their way home. Ear-tickling preaching. It's all over America. Just satisfy the people. Make sure they feel good. Make sure they're not hurt too much when they go out that door. That's an altar that needs to be tore down. Not only that, the altar, if it feels good, do it. No matter what the Bible says. Amen. Just do it if it feels good. If it seems right, do it, no matter what the Word of God says. Not only that, there's the old altar of not obeying authorities. We're living in one of the hardest times in the history of this nation of people who do not want to obey authorities. It's pathetic. Workers don't want to obey their bosses. Well, they think they can do it their way. You know, bosses are bosses. People who hired you absolutely have a right to tell you what to do. Amen. You think that's true? Amen. The authorities, you see. Not only that, there's the altar of worship of man instead of worship of God. We're seeing that all across this nation too. Men is being established and set up instead of God being established and set up. Even in our churches many times, men are being honored and more than God himself is being honored. That's wrong. That's a wrong kind of altar, you see. Also, the altar of not giving God the glory. God is the one. You see, the Bible says that his name was to be in Jerusalem. His name is to be in the church. To him be the glory and the honor for all things. Your preacher constantly, you cannot say that your preacher does not point you to Jesus Christ and God Almighty. I constantly point you unto him. I want you to look to him. I want you to honor him. I want you to love him. I want you to understand to him be the glory for all things. You've seen me point like that multitudes of times and told you the very same thing. I want God honored at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want him to receive the honor and the glory and the praise for all things. For only he is worthy. And then, of course, there's the altar of no soul winning. It's been set up in our churches. No, we don't have to go soul winning anymore. We can just have lifestyle evangelism, just try to be a good person and not go out there and confront people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say to you, that's an altar that better get tore down. But it's being set up in our churches all over America. It's being set up right here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Not by the preacher who's not going to let it stay, but it is there. Some of you have never witnessed to a soul in 5 years. You've never sat down with anybody and told them how to be saved. You never opened your Bible and said, this is the way of salvation. You haven't done it, and you know you have it. That's an altar that needs to be tore down. See, that's what happened when Manasseh set those altars up in the house of God. Not only that, there's the altar of no prayer. We don't pray like we're supposed to. There's the altar of no Bible study. No reading our Bibles. I don't know how much you read your Bibles. I don't know how much you pray. You don't know how much I pray. You don't know how much I read my Bible. But I'm saying to you, it's the duty of God's people to read their Bibles and pray and witness. Is that right? Well, amen. Let's tear those altars down. You see, in Romans, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And when he said the power of God, they tell me that word power means dynamite. It's the dynamite of God Almighty. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that dynamite that'll do the work. And you know what the churches of America has done? We've effectively, we have reduced the effectiveness of the power of God, the dynamite of God, to a fizzling firecracker. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the dynamite of God. It'll do the work if we'll get it out there. God says it will. Amen. And we need to get that gospel out there, that dynamite of God out there. So not only did he destroy the spiritual life of the people, he also brought disgrace to the house of God. And thirdly, he destroyed the children of his generation. In verse number 6, if you'll, in chapter 21, he said, "And he made his sons pass through the fire." You see, these were the fire of Molech. They literally passed their children, sacrificed their children into the fires. When it talked about his son here, more than likely, because I know he had another son, because Ammon was a son that took over after him, but I know he had a son sacrificed, because the Bible says he did. Probably it was his oldest son. See, God, our God, asked the Israelites to give their oldest son unto him. And here Molech, the oldest son, is being given. Manasseh literally passed his child, or threw his child, into the fire, and he burnt for a false god. You say, "Well, Brother Ross, I'm sure glad we wouldn't do anything like." See, if you look over real quickly to chapter 21, verse number 19 says, Ammon was 20, and this was Ammon was Manasseh's son. Said he was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Look at verse 20. "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord." Here was the son of Manasseh. What did he do? He destroyed even his own son. One of them he gave at least one to the fire, and the other one he taught him how to not serve God. And I say to you today, folks, that we are absolutely destroying the children of America. Yes, 1.5 million babies are aborted every year. Every year, 1.5 million. 1.5 million babies. They tell me, I don't know, I don't have all the figures, but they tell me that somewhere between, since this has been legalized in America, there's somewhere between 22, 23 million up to 30 million babies that has been slaughtered and aborted in America. Now, folks, that is anywhere around 4 times more than Hitler killed of the Jews, the 6 million Jews that he killed. And we've killed 4 times that at least. Babies. Slaughtered them. Killed them. That's what Manasseh done in his day. He got rid of the children. I'm saying also in this country of ours, there is child abuse in this country of ours. There's physical child abuse that is terrible. It is wicked, but it is going on in our country. But let me say to you, there's also another kind of child abuse. And that's not to love your children, not to treat them as God's heritage that God has given unto us. And train them not. I mean, give them no training whatsoever is a child abuse. Let me say to you, not teaching a child about Jesus Christ is a child abuse. And multitudes of children across this land are being reared up to not even know who Jesus Christ is. I'm talking about to really know him and who he is. And I say to you, we're doing the same thing that Manasseh did in his generation. We're destroying the children of our generation. Oh, you look around and you say, "Boy, we've got some children." We sure do. Thankful for every single one of them. Thank God, you parents that are teaching your children. But do you want to know what the masses are doing? They're not training their children to serve God and to love God and to walk with God. And I say to you, they're destroying those who are going to be our next generation, the leaders of our next generation. Not only that, we here in America have handed them over to the world and let the world train them and use them. No, you know what the children of today is going to be doing pretty soon? They're going to be building cities for Pharaoh. No, they're not going to be building God's kingdom. They're going to be building cities for Pharaoh. They're going to be used. You know why? Because they've been trained to build up this world and work in this world. That's what they've been trained for. And so they're going to give their lives to the building up of this world instead of the building up of the kingdom of God. You don't have to be a preacher or a missionary to be trained to be used for God. You can be a pillar in churches. Our churches, our future churches need good, solid people that's learned to love God and walk with God. And it's up to we parents to teach them and to raise them up for that purpose. And see, the purpose of your life is not to go out here and build the world's kingdom, but to build God's kingdom and to be used to do that. So not only that, he allowed that which God hated to thrive. God hates some things in this world. I want to show you one of them, and he allowed it to thrive in Judah. I want to show you, going back to 1 Kings, the 14th chapter. Keep your place in 2 Kings. First Kings, the 14th chapter. I want to just read a verse of scripture. We're going to turn on over. I want to read the 24th verse, 14th chapter. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. I want you to notice, when it talks about the Sodomites, the Bible speaks of it as an abomination. That's a hateful, terrible thing. Amen. Chapter 15, verse number 11 and 12. It says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Did you notice what Asa did? He did that which was right in the eyes of God. Is that right? That's what the Bible says? Well, look what he says he did. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Got rid of the Sodomites, and God said that was right in the eyes of God. Is that correct? Now, let's go over to chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 46. And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. Once again, you notice in them three verses of Scripture, they're dealing with the Sodomites. And the Bible says that it's an abomination unto the Lord. Sodomy is an abomination to the Lord. They call it today homosexuality. But we call it, what the Bible calls it, Sodomites. Sodomy is what it is. And God says it's an abomination to the Lord. Now, let's go over to 2 Kings. Go back to our Scripture in chapter 23. I want you to notice that what happened during the time of Manasseh's reign in Judah, I want you to notice what had happened. In chapter 23, verse number 7, it says, and he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. I want you to know the Sodomites was living right next door to the house of the Lord. And I want you to know, in America today, there's Sodomites that have places in the house of God, and many of the houses of God today are accepting them in as members, and even some of them are allowing them to be preachers and leaders. Are we any different than the day of Manasseh? Manasseh allowed that to thrive that God hated. And God hated that thing, and it functioned, and it was thriving throughout the land. And I say to you the same thing today. And it's supposedly okay according to our government. Our government comes along and makes laws that you can't discriminate against them. That's our government saying that. That's our land putting laws on the books that says that. Not only are we destroying our children, we're allowing that which God hates to thrive in the land. And then also going back to 2 Kings 21st chapter in verse number 8 and 9, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Listen to what it said. But they hearken not. Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Not only did he do them, things that we've already mentioned, he led the people to not listen to God and to continue in their sin. In other words, just do whatever you want to do. He encouraged them to not listen to God Almighty. We need a generation of preachers that will stand behind their pulpits and say, this is the Bible, the Word of God. And folks, you better listen to it. You better hearken to it. We need a generation of preachers all over this land standing in pulpits in every church in America that just get up and say, this is the Bible, the Word of God, and you better listen. You better read it. You better hearken to it. But no, Manasseh did not do that. Manasseh done the opposite. He encouraged them not to listen to the Word of God, not to listen to God. He encouraged them to do more sin than even the Amorites and those who were within the land before they came. He encouraged them to do worse than they did. And here in America, we've got people all over this land that's looking down on the Word of God and saying it's not all the Word of God, and it's changing the Word of God. And they take it and revise it and do all these things and take this out and take that out and all of that and change it. We've got them kind of preachers and them kind of people all over this land. So I'm going to tell you right now, not only was Judah a nation on the brink of disaster, America is a nation on the brink of disaster. America is doing exactly the very same things that Judah did. And God said, I've had enough. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I want to tell you something. I myself, in my vision, in my mind, can see judgment standing off to the side, just simply waiting for God's command to be turned loose. Some people say, I've said it myself, I believe it. Yeah, we're starting to see the judgment of God, but we have not seen the fury of the judgment of God. And I believe with all of my heart, it's standing at the side waiting for the command of God to just to be turned loose. I believe judgment of God is coming on America. I believe she's the same place that Judah was. The same sins are evident in America that was evident in Judah. And God said, I've had enough. I'm going to wipe you like a man would wipe a dish and turn you upside down. Now, what do we do? You say, Brother Ross, what do I do? Well, don't let the devil destroy your spiritual life. Stay close to the Lord. Keep your spiritual life right and proper before the Lord. Keep things confessed up. Amen. Don't let walls be built up between you and your God. Not only that, let us be a church that does not let us bring disgrace to the house of God. And set up some of the altars that we've already talked about this morning in this house of God. Let's make sure it's kept out. Not only that, be sure we do not destroy the children of our generation. Make sure we take our children and train them for the Lord's work instead of Satan's work, instead of the world's work. Make sure we have them trained when they leave our house as arrows, straight arrows that will be turned loose to do the work of God, no matter what that is, to be turned loose to do it in churches wherever they may go. Not only that, not allow that which God hates to remain, but put it away. And then not only that, encourage people to listen to the Word of God and hearken to it instead of turning it aside, not listening to what it says, instead of listening, playing games, instead of listening, as soon as you go out the door, you forget what was preached. Instead of listening and make sure it applies, just go out the door and forget it and never apply it. Just let it go on as it is. And I guarantee you, we'll remain a nation sitting on the brink of disaster. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness and kindness to us, and thank you for this nation you've given us. And I ask you, Father, to help us to be the kind of people we ought to be, to recognize the dangers that we are in America. And Lord, that we need to change some things. We need to get back to the old-fashioned way of doing things, the Bible way. Just the Word of God will change lives, save souls, and change lives, and do what needs to be done in our lives. I ask you to help us, Father, here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to just remain a church standing on the Bible, the Word of God, and never give in. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.